We left off yesterday at the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Abed, discussing that Abayu makes a statement that we have a number of Tanoim that are all over the same position, and that is Shinoi B'Mekom HaOmed. That despite the fact that there's a Shinoi, right, that the ownership is able or consistent persists through the Shinoi, and you still have ownership even after the Shinoi has taken place. So we saw, first of all, Rav Shimon Bar Yehuda. Shimon Bar Yehuda is the Rav Shimon Bar Yehuda we've seen earlier on the Amud, right, who says the name Rav Shimon, that when it's to Omit Sarif, that despite the fact that you died the wolf, nevertheless, you could still count towards Reshit HaGez, and that Shinoi is not sufficient to make it into separate animals, and it could be the quantity, you could reach the quantity needed to be Chayav and Reshit HaGez. Beit Shammai, who we had seen previously in the Masechta, Beit Shammai was Machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, which is the Machlokas about Etnan Zonah and Mechir Kelev. Etnan Zonah and Mechir Kelev, is the Shinoi sufficient to allow you to bring it on the Mizbeach? Right, and that's the Machlokas. Beit Hillel says, yes. If you change it from wheat to flour, you change it from olive to oil, then that's sufficient. You can bring it on the Mizbeach at that point. Beit Shammai says, no, that it survives the Shinoi, and it still has the shame, Etnan, and shame Mechir Kelev on it, so you cannot bring it on the Mizbeach. So now we're up to on the top of Tadig Dalet Amad Aleph, we're up to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Mahi, what's the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? The time of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer HaReisha Gazal Sa'af Shel Chitin. He steals, right, the quantity of wheat, Tachana Lasha Ba'afa. So he grinds it, right, Lasha, he kneads it, Afa, and then bakes it. Befrish Mimena Chala. And he goes ahead and he's Mafrish Chala from it. And truthfully, Mafrish Mimena Chala could have been done at an earlier stage, or Chayav in Chala from the Makom Lisha. That's the Tosu says, even though Mishad Gilgul Mekhaye Bechala, El Rebutuk Mashlon, Da'ach Bish Asa Kol Shinuim Alado Ein La Elaminait. They said, despite all these changes, all the process, you're so far along in the process.
He would do another change, it would
help him out. That is still classified as problematic. So how is it classified? It is problematic. Ketza Mivarech. When you mafrish chala, when you make a bracha of lafrish chala, or lafrish chala min ha'isa, so that bracha that you make, what bracha do you make when you do on this chala that is being mafrish? He says, Ein ze mevarech ela min ha'is. This is a famous line, that this is not considered a bracha, rather min ha'is, something disgusting. Azen emar bucea beirach ne'is Hashem. This person who goes out, steals, and wants to make a bracha on it. Right, Ne'etz Hashem. Hashem has no regard for this, is disgusted by this. That's not the type of bracha that Hashem is looking for. So, a clear from Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that the item is still classified as a stolen item. I mean, had there been Shina Rishut, it would already be in your possession. If it's in your possession, then you should be able to make a bracha on it without any bracha. But if you see that the shame Gezel persists beyond the Shinoi, and that's why he can't make a bracha on this Kala, because it's Boteh Abayach Ne'etz Hashem. Reb Shimon and Elazar, so this is the next Tana. What is that? Mahi, the Tanya. Klal ze amar Reb Shimon and Elazar, kol shevach shishbiach gazlan yadu al yonah. Any shevach that the gazlan adds to the animal is on his, you know, it's his choice, his benefit. What does that mean? Ratzano toshivcho. If he wants, shvacho, he can decide if he wants, he can take the benefit or the increased value that he created in the animal. Ratzano marlo or shocha lefanecho. Or if he wants, so he can just hand it back to the balim and say, this is yours. So my tamar, what is he saying? Amar sheshel hakikamar. This is what it means. He shvicha notel shvachom. If he made it better, he keeps the shevach kichesh. Omer lo arshel chalefanecha. He says, and if he weakens it, if it deteriorates in value, then he could just hand it right back to the balim. The shinui b'mkomo umed. There you go. Rav Sheshel is saying explicitly in Rav Shimon Elazar's position. Rav Shimon Elazar believed that it never really left the possession of the balim. Nevertheless, the possession of the balim, then he can hand it back to them, even when the value is deteriorated, even when what animal is kichesh. So if that's the case, then what about the opposite way? I mean, it's a two-way street, or it should work for both of them, right? Which is that if he can hand it back when it's kichesh, that means when it's a shbiach, it also belongs to the balim because it never left their possession. What are you going to do with that? Imre, mipnei takanat hashavim. That means takanat hashavim is exactly what takanat hashavim addressed. And because of Takanat HaShavim, we say that the Gazlan can keep it. Despite the fact that there is no Shinoi, there is no Kenyan here, and it really belongs to the Balim. Now, the last opinion of Ishmael is my, what's Rabbi Shmuel? The Tanya mitzvah pe'ah lafrish min akama. Right, a person, when they're going to be mafrish pe'ah, you do it while it's still standing, meaning like still in the ground. Being mafrish pe'ah is where you designate the corner of the field for the aniyim. You designate that corner while the field is, before it's been harvested, before it's been cut, right? In the standing position, you go ahead and you say that corner is for pe'ah. Now, if lo yafrish min akama, if he did not do that, and he already harvested the wheat, then mafrish min ha'omrim. He takes off the bundles that he's taken out. Lo yafrish min ha'omrim. If he didn't take it off of the omrim of the bundle, mafrish min ha'kri. Right? Ad shalom yarchum. That's if he, what? He can take it off the kri, the piles that he makes, the large piles he can make before he smoothed them out. Why before they smoothed them out? Before they smoothed them out, there's no chiyuv of, right, of shumas matzros. So therefore, up until that point, he can be mafrish pe'ah. Merchol. Then, if he already did the Gmar Malacha, which makes him Chayav in Shemot Masrot, the Ma'aser Venotin Lo. Then he takes off Ma'asrot and gives it to the Ani. Why? Because otherwise he's Gozel the Anim. Until this point, had he given them the Payah, right? And they wouldn't have had, they wouldn't have the issue of Masrot. But now already that there's Gmar Malacha, and he's Chayav in Ma'aser, if he hands him the Payah now, and the Ani has to go and take out the Ma'aser from it, then the Ani is going to lose out. So what does he have to do? He has to first be mafrish the ma'aser, and after he is mafrish the ma'aser, then he gives it to the ani. What happened to the truma? I mean, why is he giving ma'aser and not giving truma? That's what Tosfos asks over there. What's the, so you can say, he says one either is, he gives two answers. He says either, he says truma davar kali trum, lo hashlas kir. Today you'd like what Svi was probably shaking his head about. Masrot means trumos and masrot. It's a general term.
They have this
place. It's a general term. So that you could argue that, and that's what Svi was probably saying, is that truma, all you have to take off is one little thing, and then you're putter the truma. Right, chita achat, putter the kol tri. So that's the case. Truma is not something substantial that you have to worry about. It's just really subsumed in the question of masrot. Or the other possibility is, Svi Jalachi in Torah, Mishum, the Torah, and Regilim, the Trum. That the other possibility is that when Truma was already taken off, that they is only is taken off the point of the Gorin, and Masrot are only talking off at the time of Meriah HaKri. I mean that Truma is taken off at an earlier stage, and therefore Truma is already removed. Kri is what's Mechayat to Masrot, and that's why we're talking about Maser here and not Truma. It's just a sidebar, it's an interesting toast with it. But when we'll, alright, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, Af Mefrish Menei San Venotein Lo. That doesn't matter. Even if you go all the way up to the point where it's already been made into an isah, into dough, right? I mean, it's already into a bread almost, right? That is, he's still able to be mafrish the peah. So what do you see by Rabbi Shmuel? See, Rabbi Shmuel thinks that shinui, right, is not sufficient to be mafkia your, the chiyuv peah that's there. So had it been that shinui was enough of a kinyan, but over here, he's already at the point where he's making his sa'ah. He's gone through enough of a process where we have real shinui. That type of shinui should allow him for a kinyan. That kinyan should have been enough to say no more pe'ah. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel still allows pe'ah, even after that change, shows you that shinui bim komo umedet. Now the Gemara is going to go and say, wait, this is it. Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye. Ich fel kohani t'nai le shmini k'beit shemai. The Papa asks Abaye important question. He says we have five Tanaim, all with the same opinion. And why? Teach us the halachas like Beit Shammai. Doesn't seem to make sense. Right, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, halachas to Beit Hillel. Then you have all these other Tanaim that say, Shinoi b'makom ha'omei, just like Beit Shammai. So, why would we have this? That all these Tanaim are supporting the position of Beit Shammai. So, Marlei, off the camera. Lo nechluku Beit Shammai, u Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. No, that actually Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai don't argue on this issue. This is not a this is not with or not around which their machlokes is about. So he holds that it's not an issue of Beit Shammai versus Beit Hillel. That even Beit Hillel would agree to this position. If that's the case, then you have these other Tanaim that are supporting the position not only of Beit Shammai but of Beit Hillel. Amar Rava, Mimai. Rava, who we've seen before, right, Abaye and Rava on yesterday's Amud argued about how to explain the differences in Rabbi Shimon, how to explain the differences in the Brachos. So Rava comes back to Abaye and says, Mimai, how do you know that all these Tanaim have the same opinion? This goes to what Shaul was just asking. Are you, can you just say that they overlap, that they would agree in all these positions? maybe there is a unique position or a unique part to each one of these cases. Dilma. Atkan lo kama Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda atam elo bitzoveya. Right, that's the only case, which is what we saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said yesterday about Tzoveya, that is not classified as a Shinoi. Hovi achol davi ro ayudei tzvon. That's what Tosus points out on the bottom of the Amud, that it doesn't really seem like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda really does hold Shinoi is work. His case by Tzvo is unique, which is that by Tzvo you're able to remove the Tzvo, you're able to reverse that Shinoi, and that's why it's not classified as a Shinoi. But maybe Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda believes in general that Shinoi does work. Right, over there, Beit Shammai's opinion about, when we're speaking about Etnan Zodah, Mechir Kelev, that's unique to Kodesh. That's unique to Kodesh. Going on to Mizbeach, there we have higher standards. We're not going to allow something, even though there's a Shunah, we're going to have a higher standard of background checks on where this stuff came from. Right, Mishum Dim Itz. It's disgusting or it's inappropriate to bring such an item on the Mizbeach. And possibly, that can look like Elazar ben Yaakov, it's a medley in Yon Bracha. Maybe that's only true by a bracha, where he says you can't make a bracha on stolen materials, even though they've undergone a shinoi. Why? Shem davalei mitzvah haba'a be'aveira. The mitzvah haba'a be'aveira. Now, truth is, it's not really classic mitzvah haba'a be'aveira, because in general, when we talk about mitzvah haba'a be'aveira, we talk about a lot of the Rishonim believe that the mitzvah ne'aveira,
that it's only when the chetza veira is the object that's being used to perform the mitzvah. In a case where the chetza shel aveira is no longer that chetza veira, then it's not classified or doesn't qualify to be mitzvah baveira. In this case, right, the objection of Abba to Abaya's position is that Abaya is saying, well, all these people believe shinoi b'mkomo omeit, that shinoi doesn't change. And Rabba is saying, no. Over here it is a case where shinoi is koneh. But even though shinoi is koneh, it's still mitzvah baba aveira. But in that instance, or in this case, if it really is shinoi is koneh, that means that the chayfetz, that was the chayfetz aveira, has now already changed. It's in a shinoi, it's in someone else's possession, and the chayfetz is no longer that chayfetz that the aveira was performed on. Like a similar to the situation of Vankri in the Gemara in Sukkah, where if the hadassim, or the revolt, pass from the sellers to another possession, you buy them through these third parties and it changes possession as Shinui Rishut and as Yehush and as all these items, then it no longer becomes a mitzvah b'avera because the chetza is no longer the chetza b'avera. So why is Rava in this instance claiming or saying that this is a case of mitzvah haba b'avera?
And Lulav might be one of the exceptions and Rava might be one of the exceptions, like Tzvi is saying, which is that when you talk about mitzvah haba b'avera, that's talking about when you're actually doing the b'avera. There are certain items or certain mitzvot that are called what we call mitzvah. Involve a certain amount of coming before. The Gemara says there's a higher standard when you are doing ritzui and you're doing something with Nine Lishnim that involves a certain amount of interaction or pleading before Hashem. The standard there is higher. So it may be that it doesn't qualify under the regular mitzvah b'aveira, but like Tzvi was saying, by bracha, when you're coming before Hashem and you're mevarech something, which involves, you know, placing Hashem's name on an object, on a mitzvah, right, that will have a higher standard of, you can't be merateh, you can't come and present something, or make a bracha about something, when it comes from a questionable or problematic background. Same thing with lulav possibly. Lulav is which is used for ritzui. Shofar possibly, which is used for ritzui. That's what the Gemara also mentions there, is that ritzui, is lulav, shofar, might be exceptional cases, because they're used to plead, they're used to, as almost like a tefillah, l'fnei Hashem. And when you're doing that, it's inappropriate, Even if it's not the classic mitzvah b'aveira, inappropriate to present before a Kaddish Baruch Hu in such a manner things that come. How could you be pleading to Hashem to answer us with a stolen object? It just doesn't make sense.
I'm saying something differently because the person is yotzei mitzvah chala without a bracha. Okay, but the mitzvah that is haba b'aveira, not the mitzvah chala that has a special inyan of ritzui, but the mitzvah derabanan of the bracha. So you can't be mevarech because it's news, right? The etzem statement of the bracha is bothersome to a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Nice idea that the avera here really is the niyat Hashem, and therefore the mitzvah of avera is really the bracha itself is what generates the avera.
And might work well according to the Rambam, who believes whenever you make a bracha, that is unnecessary or inappropriate, you're actually in violation of Lo Tisad Shema Hashem Lashav, that you are actually violation in a mitzvah del right. So when you misappropriate or misuse the Shem Hashem, so maybe here where the bracha is inappropriate and that's the mius, then you could claim that is the mitzvah baba vera, although I don't think that is the simple interpretation of the Gemara.
Right, Radkan Lukama Rib Shimon Lazar Hadam, Elabahakasha. And maybe Rib Shimon Lazar, when we're talking about Hafasha, the Hadar. When we're talking about Hafasha, the animal, it doesn't mean that it was damaged. It just means it lost weight, it's skinnied up, somehow it's deteriorated quality, something that could be returned. The quality of the animal could be returned to its original state. So therefore that's unique to the fact of Hafasha is Harishal Kalakana. It's not really a Shinui. Radkan Lukama Rib Shimon Lazar Malinyan Peya. Mishulam Peya is unique. Why is Peah unique? Mishum dechtiv tazov yoteira. Same Peah, the din of Peah is repeated twice in the Torah. It tells you you have to leave the corner of Peah twice. That teaches us some additional dinim. What is that? That despite the fact that you've already done a shinoi, right, that's not kone over here. That this tazov makes a demand of you even beyond the normal status of kinya, the status of reshut, that says even after you've done a shinoi, you still have to give. Peah. Alright, so let's point out Peah, Matanot Aniyim, shiny. Right, Matanot Aniyim are different. Kedabai Rabbi Yonatan, Dabai Rabbi Yonatan, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. Mishum Tazavar, Shinoi Eno Koneh. Is the reasoning for Rabbi Shmuel is because he thinks Shinoi Eno Koneh, and that's why you can still bring Peah all the way along the line, because there's no Kenyan. Oh, Dumo, Be'alma Tazavar, Shinoi Koneh. They generally believe that Shinoi is Koneh. Mahakum Mishum Tazav, Tazav Yitzirah. Right, that the extra tazov, the fact that Peah is repeated, says that Peah will survive the shinoi. That is unique to Peah. Vimtim Tulomar Tam Dirishom Mushum Tazav Shinoi Eino Koneh. Right, if you say that it's because Shinoi Koneh, Tazov Yitzirah, Tazov Rachmana Lamali, then what do you need the extra tazov, right, that associated with Peah? Why do you need the extra tazov? But two, the Rabbanan, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, says Shinoi is Koneh, Tazov Yitzirah, Tazov Rachmana Lamali. What do I do with this extra tazov? We violated Tanya, Maskir Karmo. This is something that we saw also earlier in the Masechta. Maskir Karmo, someone who was Maskir his vineyard. Ishkim la boker batro. Gets up in the morning and he picks it. I mean, he was Maskir the night before, and now it's available to everybody. He goes out and picks it. Chayav, the peret, va'ololot, u'bishikha, u'peya. He's Chayav in the matnot eniim, u'patur mina ma'aser. It's patur from ma'aser. So why is it Chayav in the patur mina ma'aser? So that is, if you look in Rashi, Chayav Peret, the Afagav, the Hefker Patur Mikulam. In general, Hefker is Patur Mimatnot Aniyim. Because the general limud is that, right, that when does it belong to the Aniyim? When is it, why is it that you are Patur? When I say when it comes to Hefker, it's because the Yad Yadcha is, you control, you own it, therefore you have to give Matnot Aniyim. When it's Hefker, where the Yad Ani and your Yad are equal, then he's right. The Ani could have taken it just as well as you could. And because of that, there is no Matnot Aniyim, because there's no unique ownership of yourself. So he says, Afagat the Hefker Patur Mikulam. Tichtiv Artucha, Tadcha, Bekarmecha. All of them have a possessive form. All these Matanot have a possessive form. If they have a possessive form, that means that only when you own it are you Chayav in Matnot Aniyim, not that it's Hefker. Mahani, Tazov Yeterel, Lukutei. Each one of them has two psukim, or a double pasuk, to tell you, despite the fact, right, that you have gone ahead and been mafkirit, it's still in your possession. Ki hai gavna. So lo havi hefker liptor. Just like over here, that hefker is not enough to get rid of it. V'afkam shepatur mina maser. That even though it's patur mina maser, v'cholhani tiv tazov yetera. In all of them, you have a tazov yetera. And Rashi goes on to enumerate the double psukim by all of these, beret, ololot, and shechan te'ah. Right, and then he comes at the end and reminds us that by Maaser we don't have a Tazov Yetzirah. We don't have a doubling of the Pasuk by Maaser, and therefore Maaser will be freed by doing Hefker. By doing such Hefker, you will be freed, whereas these other Matnot Aniyim will survive the fact that you have been Mafkirit.
So the point of the Gemara by asking, Imtim Salam, time of the Rishmal, Mishum Tazov Shina Yanakona, what's the Gemara trying to get at by asking that question?
You know, that they're just proving that there's such a difference, that Peah might be a unique case, that you want to learn from it, from this to other places to show you that Shino is Eino Koneh, then we can show you that the Peah, the reason, even if you say that Shinoi is Kone in other places, you could still say Shinoi is Kone by Peah because you have this unique aspect of the Tazov Yitera, the unique aspect of the Psukim. So that will be specific to the Matnot Daniim, and you can't draw any conclusions from that to other places about Shinoi. So Rava's basic position, or what Rava is saying here, is that Abaye, who wanted to suggest that we have a slew of Tanaim that say that Shinoi is not Kone, that Shinoi from Komo Mez, that means that you're able to survive the part of Shinoi. Rava says no, that all these cases might be unique. And that in each one of the cases I can explain to you, I can give you a reason why Shinoi is in a Kone, but that won't be a general principle. So that's it. You have a disagreement between Rava and Abaye about this. And because of that, Abaye has to switch up above when we talk about Nan Zonai, Mr. Kalef, to say that there is no Machlokes Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. To have it always at 9, at least agreeing with Beit Hillel and I was Beit Shammai. But then Rava says, no, there can be a Machlokes because all these are specific or unique to these aspects and they're not general conditions or general positions that these Tanaim are having.
If we follow what the Rambam's formulation of the instance of Omar, wouldn't that suggest that Rabbi Shmuel does hold that Shinoi and Akana?
I think that wasn't a halachic conclusion, it was just a discovery. Because of like the Rabbanan, they have to answer for the Rabbanan anyway, which is, how do you have this Tazov Yitera? What are you going to do with it? I think it was not a conclusive statement of Intim Tomer, but rather a test in the question, if you do that, is this really an option? Because if you say this, what are you going to do with the Tazov Yitera? But then I don't think it follows the normal pattern.
I'm still unclear with the flow, because we said the Icon, like Amar Yishmael, Asa Melalinian Peya, which is the Tazov Yitera.
Right.
Okay, so since the Gemara has established that maybe Rabbi Shmuel doesn't necessarily hold Shinoi and Akona.
Right.
Then we go through the union of keeping the Gemara Mimei. We upshalag that, right?
Not upshalag that. I just say maybe let's learn from that to the rest of other conditions. You're right. This is unique to Peah. But maybe it's not unique to Peah. Maybe it's Peah, and then we can learn from Peah and say everywhere Shinoi and Akona. So where it says, no, Matanot Ayim Shani. The Matanot Ayim are unique. You're so unique that you can't learn from them to other places. This will be a part of the lacha that only applies by Matnot and Naim and not anywhere else.
So we say you can't. And then we come back and say, in the time of Rishon, Rishon, Kassav, Shinoi, and Akona.
No, that's just the Gemara. It says Rabbi Yonatan poses it as a question. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Shmuel? We say that there is a possibility. Rabbi Yonatan presents this question. What is the position of Rabbi Shmuel? Is the position of Rabbi Shmuel because he believes Shinoi and Akona? Or is the position of Rabbi Shmuel because he
Is Rabbi Yonatan continued in Tum Siloma?
Yeah, within Rabbi Yonatan's question. They're asking, how do you explain that thad that says in Rabbi Yonatan that says that he believes Shinoi Kone, then what does he need Tazov Yitera for? It just blows the question. It's a part, that's what Shaul was just asking. Is the Tum Siloma conclusion? I'm saying, I don't think so. I think it's part of the question. How do you explain that thad of Rabbi Yonatan? Alright, so now the Gemara says, Amar Yuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Abazar. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Abazar. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Can't Shmuel really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Abazar? Why? What's the problem with saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Abazar by Gnevar Gzela? Which is that Harisha Chalaf and Achan, there is Shinoi, right? There is no Shinoi. Shinoi does not help you over here. Right? Amar Shmuel ain't Shemin Lola Ganav Lola Ganav Lola Nizakin. Wait a minute. We only do assessments for a Ganav and a Gazman when it comes to Nizakin. What does that mean, Nizakin? Nizakin, if you remember, this was by the case of the Nevela. When you have a Nevela and the boar, right, then we assign the Nevela to who? To the Nizak. That means that everything goes, that there's, at that moment, right, everything stops at that moment, Kishatak Zela, and the Nevela goes back to the Nizak, and the other hand, and then the Mazik has to make up the differential. But that implies that by others, by Ganav and Gazman, that's not the case. That you don't just hand back the item to the Nizak. That you actually have to make full reparation to the Nigzal or the Nignav. Mishmah of the Rabba can explain it. Rabba Babu says that Amar Kika Amar Rav Shimon Elazar Atam Bechasha the Hadar. That he says it's unique. By Rav Shimon Elazar, it's stock over here is unique to this case. He does not believe in general that Shinoi is not Kone. He says in this case, it's Shinoi Shechozer, the Briato, the Shinoi that goes back to its original state. So that's unique over here, and that's why we're passing the law for like Shimon Elazar. Then it's not a Sira and Shmuel. Because the reason you can say Ari Shalcha the Fanech over here is because there isn't really no Shinoi. Had there been a Shinoi, you can't say Ari Shalcha the Fanech. Lokasha. Kikamar lach Rav Shimon Rosa, the Shinim b'mkomo omed. V'chasha. When does he say Shinim b'mkomo omed? That's by chasha, the hadar that goes back to its normal state, original state. And there's no shim over there. Kamar Shmuel Hotam, ain't shamin, lo laganav, lo gazanav, and he's akim, v'chasha, lo hadar. He's talking about a case where there's real Shinim. When there's real Shinoi, then he says there is a Kenyan. Ella baye damar kikamar b'shimon alazir v'chasha lo hadar. Shimon Alazir is making a full statement of Shinoi. Is in Shinoi b'mkomo omed. It's a real achash over here. Mike and the Maymar. Abaye matne hake. Abaye matne this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. That Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So what does that do for you? Amro. Halacha to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Belei lo shvirile. Right. That you don't have to. He doesn't have to hold of it. Right. Rabbi, that the how we reconcile between these two items is that it's Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. That this is the way Shmuel said it, that Allah has through Shimon Lazar, but Leilos Virile, and he doesn't hold of it. And that was what he brought down, but he doesn't hold of that position. And because he doesn't hold of that position, right, then he can explain the other position of Shmuel, which says that by Ganav and Glazan, it's an exceptional case. Alright, I'm Rabbi Chir Baba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Gezelah Nishtanit, Choseret Be'ine. Alright, so that's the position, Dvar Torah, Zeilah that changes, Choseret Ve'ine. That goes back the way it was, which means, Shinoi Eino Kunem. Right? So why is that? So, Apple B, Shinishtana, even though it's changed, even though you have a Shinoi over here, there's no Kinyan Shinemar. Ve'eshiva the Zeilah Sher Gazal. To return that which you stole, Mikol Makom. No matter what it is, not what the state of the item is right now, you've got to return it. Ve'im Tomar Mishnah Teinu. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah makes an explicit statement. That Shinoi, I go to Zin, Vatan Kelim, Semer, Vatan, Bigadim, Shelein, Kishatak Zila, which tells you that Shinoi is Konef. Because otherwise, why are you paying Kishatak Zila? Just hand him the item back. So he says, Imtar Mishnah, Tenu, Mishom, Takanat HaShavim. Rabbi Yochanan believes that our Mishnah is all about Takanat HaShavim. Mina Torah, Shinoi, Bimkomomed. Why do we have our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is Takanat HaShavim, exactly that. Once you've made a Shinoi in the object, we're not going to make you go and give back the object once you've invested in the object, because otherwise the person will not do tshuva. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan hafe. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan halach of the Stam Mishnah. It's always the problem with Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever Rabbi Yochanan passes in halacha, we know that we have the general principle of Rabbi Yochanan, which is halach of the Stam Mishnah, and we have a Stam Mishnah that says it's not. Lo yispik with nohu ashtzva'o patur. If he wasn't able to give the reshita gave before he died it, then he's patur from Rishita Gaze, because the dying process is a Shinoi, and that gives him a Kinyan, and it won't be able to join together to create a sufficient quantity to be Chayav in Rishita Gaze. What do you see from this? That Mishnah says that Shinoi is Konef. And if Rabbi Yochanan passes Kishtam Mishnah, that means that this is a Halacha Kishtam Mishnah, that Shinoi is Konef. So after Rabbi Yochanan make a statement over here, by Gizela, that Shinoi ain't no Konef. So Amar Lahu, how will Midra Bonon? That's only Midr Rabbanan. For Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, right? If one of the Rabbanan explained this, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, the Dima Varshli Minei, Rabbi Yochanan, to go to Gadolei Tim, Meshupin, Vatan Kelim. Tavalei, Shinoi, Hachuzer, Libriato. Now, Rabbi Yochanan's position about that everything goes back the way it is has to do with not a Shinoi when there's a real Shinoi. There's a real Shinoi, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is a Kinyan. We're talking about here is a Shinoi Choser Libriato that goes back to its original state. If it's a Shinoi that goes back to its original state, then he's got to give it back to the, then he's got to give it back to the exile. He's got to hand it back. So now you say, okay, if it's Shinoi Choser Libriato, that's what he has to give back, then what are we talking about in the Mishnah? Right, in the Mishnah, what's the case over there? Right, so he says, Rabbi Yochanan says that the Takanat HaShavim, works. Over here is because it's a Shinoi Choser Libriato.
Does that mean Takanat HaShavim only applies in the Shinoi Choser Libriato, or even when there's no Shinoi B'chlal?
Only with the Shinoi Choser Libriato, because you have to have some sort of tircha. Right? If there is no tircha involved, then we're not going to have Takanat HaShavim. You can just hand the animal back to the owner, and he says, or he hand the board back to the owner, he says, here, this is yours. So when is Takanat HaShavim invoked? It's invoked in a case where he's done some tircha. He's put it into a building. He's put it into an ergash. Now, truthfully, you could take it apart and hand him the board back, and that'd be fine. You really could do hashavat hagzeila. Why don't we do the Shabbat Gzeila in that case? Because of the Kanat HaShavim. Alright, next Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Hagazlanim. Omilvei v'ribit. Shebziro. Right, these people, these thieves. And milvei v'ribit. Those that lend out the money with interest. Shebziro. In the Kablimen. That return it, we do not accept it from them. V'amakabu mehen. And those that accept it back from them. In ruach hachamim nochemen. Chachamim are not happy with their behavior. Rashi says, it's interesting. Ein ruach chokhma v'chassidut bekirbo. Not ruach chachamim, which I would have interpreted as chachamim, who established this takana, that they're not happy, meaning that he's overriding a takana chachamim. But Rashi says, no, that this person lacks a certain amount of sensitivity, right, and understanding that if he accepts this, he's going to make it hard for the milvei ribit and the gazlanim to do tshuva. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Rebbe Nishneit Mishnah Zu. This Mishnah was taught in the time of Rebbe. The Tanya, Maseh Ba'adam Achad Shebikeis La'ashot Tshuva. Person wanted to go ahead and do Tshuva. Amar Lo Yishto, Reka. Even his wife. Wife calls him Reka. He's a thief. Ima Da'aseh Tshuva, Afilu Avneit Eno Shemcha.
Even the belt that you wear,
it's not going to be yours. Everything's stolen. V'nim Na'av Lo Asa Tshuva. Because he didn't do tshuva, because he would have to give up everything. They give it back, we don't accept it. That whoever does that, the chachamim are not happy with his behavior. Very important tosos about what does it mean. So Rabbeinu Tam explains. What does that mean that in Rebbe's time that there was this Mishnah? If you look in the Tosfos, in Rebbe's Mishnah, when he wrote down, the Lola Fanav, the Lola Acharav, that it only applied during his generation, not any other time. Ella Ludoro Dapka Tikain, it was for his door. Bishu Mateh Shaya, Ludoro Tabayim, because of that case, so that situation, it was Tatana in Rebbe's time, not in that. The Ha Masim B'chol Yom, Shemekablim in a Gazlanim, V'danim, Dinei Gzevot. Every day we would accept, if someone stole something from anyone, they would take it back. They'd want their object back. They would accept it back. We don't dissuade them from taking it back. We accept the materials back. And number two is we take them to court. You take them to court and he's down to exilot, that tells you that we do obligate the gazman to return the object that he stole. So how could it be? Must be that it was only in Rebbe's generation. And he goes and lists a series of Mishnayot that say that we do return items or stories in the Gemara that we return items. Yeah, in general, yeah.
So it's
as
true,
yeah, I mean, going forward, he doesn't do it anymore, right? We're going to see, there are going to be questions from the Gemara, from Breitot. The only reason we brought these Breitot down is according to Rabbeinu Tam, this doesn't only exist in the time of Rebbe. What does the time of the Rebbe equate to? Those are only Breitot. What are the Breitot? Those are the Breitot of the Talmud Rabbi Chia, who were learned. That's what he learned from Rebbe. So that's what he's presenting in the time of Rebbe. The low hikshami must be sin. How can we just ask from our Mishnah? Or other cases where all we're talking about are returning things, right? Returning items. The kind of Mishalim Pishat of Zela that says you have to pay and you have to return it. Our Mishnah is explicit that you give stuff back to a Zatlan. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that? The Pisha Mishnayot that you called him Rebbe. Mishnayot predate Rebbe, unless your Rebbe see drunk. He just put them together. But they all predate Rebbe and they're not going to be affected by this Takana. Aval Breitot HaYashonah Rebbe Chiyot, Mashayim Mosif Rebbe El Mishnayot. Chiyot's Breitot are what Rebbe taught him in excess or beyond the Mishnayot. And that's what the questions come from. V'ri Omer. And V'ri, which seems much more mistaber, that makes a lot more sense. There have been a time, it's unbelievable. Bimei Rebbe Nishtit. It's a unique takana to the door of Rebbe. It's an unbelievable statement, right? That you could have such a takana that only existed in the time of Rebbe. And the Gemara can ask questions, but... Right. So the V'ri Omer, Dimatnahitan Alar Matin Mifra. From our mission, you can't ask. The low tikkun Rebbe, the aim of Kabbalah, and the Yotam ben Adam Shrobi Skan, umichyatam bekach. That is, the Rebbe says that Rebbe Sakana refers to people whose profession is stealing and lending out ribit. So, someone who is professionally a thief, or professionally a lender with interest, then we say that Sakana Rebbe stands in to say that you don't have to return it, because otherwise this guy's never going to chew up, because then he has no, basically, he's going to hand back all of his possessions. He has nothing without that which he stole. In that case, that will prevent him from doing tshuva. In that instance, we say, don't accept it back from him so he can do tshuva. On the other hand, when it comes to a person that's sold, that's not his professional, you know, profession, or general gzela, we say return the item, because it's not going to ruin the whole guy's life when he returns this item. It's part of his larger possessions. This is not his profession. It was something that you know, made a mistake, he stole on a side, you know, thing, but it's not as professional. That's why over here we don't ask from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a case where it's just regular to say lot. It's not where he's a professional does not. That makes a lot more sense to say, then okay, now we ask from Rebbe, in cases where we see high amounts of zela, a person is professional and does not, as opposed to cases where it's just general zela, we say you got to, or you must, return the item. Right, now, the Gemara says, we have a mitzvah, we have a praise. His father left him, ma'ot shel ribit. What's ma'ot shel ribit? Money that was gotten through an illegal means, which is that he charged interest on a loan. Even though the children know it belongs to ribit, and chayvim lachazir, they don't have to return it. So what does that imply? They don't have to return it. But who would have had to return it? The father would have had to return it. Avian, chayav lachazir, but if it was their father, he would have to return it also. Father also would not have to return it. Right, how come it's written by the children? Mishum the kavoy, let me not say for. They have to deal, there's another case in the Mishnah. What's the case in the Mishnah? And here, Achleim, Abiyam, Parav, Talib. If the father leaves them a stolen cow, or a stolen beged, B'chol Devarim Suyam, or anything that is clearly defined, an object that is definable and clearly could be seen as a stolen item, Chavim Lachazir means make for the Abiyam. They have to return it because of the quote of their father. And if people know that this is a stolen parah, and this is a stolen parah, it's still the same parah that was stolen, if they don't return it, they're always going to say, this guy stole this parah. You have the stolen parah, and it's not a kavod to their father. So there, that's only unique, or that's special by the children. So since the safe has to talk about the children, the ratio also spoke about the children that they don't have to return it. But Einachanan, the father, also would not have to return it based on the Tanakh. Right, the takana of Rabbi, that you don't accept anything back. So Tana Reisha, now we have to do, so that's why the Reisha also spoke with them. Wait a minute, because of the kavod of their father, they have to be mazir. Their father was a kavod. He didn't worry about his own kavod. Why do they have to worry about his kavod? As far as this, Ikre Khan, Benasim Bamcha lo Tor. Benasim Bamcha means that someone of position, you're not allowed to curse, meaning they have to give kavod to elders and to others, to your parents, to everyone else. That's only true, but also not say amcha. That's only if he acts properly, if he acts within the confines of halacha, you have to give them kavod. So now within the confines of halacha, what type of kavod are we talking about up here? Kadam Rav Pincha, v'sha'asa tshuvah. Rav Pincha makes a statement in Chagiga. V'chanami v'asa tshuvah. Also over here is the case where the father did tshuvah. Wait, he has a tshuvah. If he has tshuvah, what's this parah doing over here now? He has a tshuvah, my bai gabed. Why does he still have all these stolen materials over here if he did tshuvah? He should have returned them already. He was doing tshuva. Shalom, he speaks lachzir. Achamez. Right now, he didn't have enough chance, right? That's bad. Whatever, he didn't have enough chance to return them beforehand. But we know he did tshuva. He wants to be better. Now the children have to, right, return it. So dashma. Now we say, agavlanim. Umilvebe ribit. Afalpisha gavu makzirin. Right, so now it says the gavlanim, thieves, and those that lend out ribit, even though they took it, makzirin, they have to take it back. Mazed Gazlanim, Maisha Gavu. What does it mean that they took it? If I repeat, you can understand whether he has a contract that has repeat in it. Did he collect the repeat or did he not collect the repeat yet? Did he collect the interest or not collect the interest? They're talking about Gazlanim, what does that have to do? Whether they collected the gazelle or he didn't collect the gazelle? Iga, what is that? I gazul gazul. If he stole it, he stole it. Ilo gazul, lo gazul. What's that? Gavu. I mean, Gavu is only an application by Lobe repeat. Ella, Ema Gazlanim. Thieves, what type of thieves are we talking? Mind you, Bilvei Rubios. Not two categories, Gazlanim and Bilvei Rubios, but rather, Gazlanim, who are people endowed with interest. Apo Bisha Gabu, even though they collected the interest on the loan, Makzirin, they have to return it. Imre, Makzirin, Vein Makablimim. No, we can say, yeah, right, they have to try to return it, but we don't accept it from them. Elalama Makzirin, so then why are they returning it? But today, please, this is what Shaul was asking about before, this idea that even though we do not obligate them, we do not make a demand on them to return it, nevertheless, they might want to return it in order to be, let's say, Lidei Shemayim. That's why they're trying to return it. Right, so now, Tashma, another case. Haro'eh v'agabayin v'amuchsin tshuvatan kasher. Comes to shepherds, Gabayin, right, who deal with community money, muhsin, tax collectors, tshuvatan kasher, doing tshuva for them is very difficult. Now, roim, the question about what the problem with roim is, Rashi over here says the gazmanim heim le'ot behemot esdot acherim, that they actually they go ahead and they let their animals graze in other people's fields. And that's what makes them gazlanim. Tosfos on the next Talmud, we'll see. Tosfos says that really it seems like the gazlanim is not because he lets them graze in other people's fields, but rather he steals their output. The Rosh Hashanah and shears the animals, he takes their milk, he uses some of their output that doesn't belong to them, and he keeps it for himself. So either way, they're gazlanim. What's the problem? Why is it umakdirin lamakirin? What do they have to do? Their tshuva is hard. So those people they recognize. And they stole from large tracts of people who they don't know. I mean, they stole this from the tibor, basically. They stole from the tibor, they don't know how to repay it. So, maksirin the makirin. Those that they know they stole from, they repay. Imrei, maksirin, vein mekavlin. And again, we say, no, they have to return it, and we don't accept it from them. Ela lama maksirin. So then why are they trying to return it? Say, they should mind. What's so hard? Why is their tshuva so hard if they, when they go back to return, we say, keep it? Says, oh, aim a safe. And what are you going to do with the second half of the mission?
I thought it
was the same. Why are they trying to return it? If they have no obligation to return it, why are they trying to return it?
No,
they're coming to return it because they want to say the day Shemayim. All right, so now, v'eshe'ein makirin, what do you do with the safe? V'eshe'ein makirin yaseben tzarkei tzibur. Those that you don't recognize, what do you do with the money? You do tzarkei tzibur. So that people can benefit, right? So, v'amar v'kista, what is that? Borot tzichinu marot. You dig pits or water wells and caves, things that the rabbim are benefit from, because the stomach, this person that you stole from will get benefit from it, and then he'll get his money back that way. A little kasha, kan kodum takana, kan after takana. That depends when. Is it before the takana, and that's after the takana. Before the takana, they used to have to return it, chubatan kashe. After the takana, then they don't have to return it.
It's clear that you don't accept it.
Right.
If you accept it, you could still say the borrows is because they shaman.
Right.
I mean, if we accept it at all, then...
I think I agree that even with the state of the Shemayim, we don't accept it. Yeah, that's correct. Rahash Kudama Rav Nachman Shein Zela Kayemet. Well, now that Rav Nachman says that this case over here is when the Zera is not Kayemet. Bilzema Yidvidi Lachar Takana. Then you can explain both of these cases by after Takana. Bilkasha. That's not a problem. Kan Zela Kayemet. Kan Zela Ena Kayemet. So when the gzela is kayemet, then we enforce it. When we say to you, you've got to return it. When the gzela is not kayemet, then we say to you, you don't have to return it. What about the case above, where the case where the original zakana was established by Rebbe? What did he say? She said,
even your belt,
you're going to have to return because it's stolen. That sounds like it's an item that's still extant, it's still there, and you should have been able to return it. Right? The gzela kayemet. Bob Nate, the gzela kayemeti. My of Nate. The may of Nate. No, not that he stole the coat, but rather he monetized. He stole something. He monetized it and he bought clothes for himself. Whatever it is, then he's going to have to return it. But, oh, hey, for the Gzela Kayemet, Lord, would Rabbanon Takanto? Is that true? Whenever the Gzela Kayemet, the Rabbanon didn't make a Takana, Bahamei Rish, the Takanto Shavim is exactly on that case, for the Gzela Kayemet. Bahamei Rish, the God's way, Kayemet, Gzela Kayemet, case of the board that he stole, it's right there, it's in the building. That's the whole case of Takanto Shavim. It's not. I mean, Risha Gudzul, she went over Bira. She told them out. They take the Takanat Shavim. But says Shani Hassan came to Ikab, say that the Bira Shavua Rabbanan Kibaleta. Since you would have to take apart the building to get to the board, that make it as if it is Kayemet. So now, if you have this, you have three different stages, or in the conclusion, where you have three things. Number one is Zela Kayemet. If the Zela is still here and you're able to return it, there is no Takanat Shavim and there's no Takanat Tshuva. You hand it back and we're done because the item is still there. It's ready, readily available, you can give it back and hand it back. There's another case, which is that the item is readily available to return, so there is no tenet of tshuva, but nevertheless, it's hard to return it because it's now already embedded in something else. And if you have to take that item out, you're going to have to ruin something else. It's going to cause you loss of despair. That comes under the tekanah of shavim. Then there's a third case where the item does not exist anymore, where the repayment will be monetary repayment. You're compensating for the gzela you take. That's where the Kanat Rebbe came into effect. Kanat Rebbe came into effect. In that instance, we don't say that you have to return it because we want, otherwise the person will never do tshuva. So we say there, you don't have to return the money, you don't have to return anything because they won't do tshuva. Again, between the Rebbe Tam and the Rebbe will be a difference. Of course, the Rebbe Tam is unique to the time of Rebbe, and that doesn't apply outside the time of Rebbe. That's what that is, the Zerah, that when you add the Zerah in a tenant, and there's money, you have the money is in your hands, you don't have to return it. Because of that Kan Rebbe might be Shaya. According to the Ri, it's really, it would still exist today, but the difference between professional Gadlanim versus regular Gzeila. When you have a professional Gadlanim, then there's the Sakana Tshuva. Because they already, they have nothing left. If we make them give back all their money, they have no money without the Gzeila. we're going to basically put them into the poorhouse, and what are they going to do now? They're going to go ahead and steal again. They're not going to do tshuva, they're going to steal again. There's no ability to give them rehabilitation. So basically, by allowing him to keep what he did until this point, and do tshuva going forward, right, then we allow him an opportunity to survive and do tshuva and exist afterwards. Right? Whereas, if it's just somebody who's not professionally compliant, they have existence, but that's zelah, and if they're good at zelah, we're not going to change their livelihood or change their life. They have to do what's more proper, and then it's to return the zelah in that instance and give the money back because it's zelah shein at the end. Okay, we'll stop here.